with all the points that are being made about young people facing these things. I don't disagree with any of them. And I also don't want us to think that this is mostly for young people. Because this is for all of us also. I don't, Emil won't disagree with that in his illustrations. Because, for example, in Philippians 3, the passage we read, these were people who had come up with a philosophy of life that they were enemies of the cross of Christ. Probably they might never have said that. But in practicality, they didn't like the teaching of the cross of Christ. Or perhaps they were unbelievers and were really opposing Christianity. But the characteristics were that the cross of Christ would have prevented them from having their belly as their God, their appetites as their God. The cross of Christ would have prevented them from being focused solely on earthly things. Their mindset was on only earthly things, not heavenly things. And these are pitfalls for all of us, and maybe some of them are especially for young people, and probably others of them are especially for us who are in the work world or in our families. And we see people, for example, who they attain many of the riches of this life, and they have excellent ways to spend the money they have earned. Ways that their accumulation is for extravagance, as opposed to using it for the work of the Lord, let's say. Or their attainments are for a place of authority and position among their work colleagues. Or that they want to carry that in to the assembly setting. And they have that authority at work, and we are tempted, perhaps, to bring that in. This is how our God is our appetites, and even as believers, we are susceptible to mind earthly things. To be focused, earthly things are themselves not sinful, but they're not heavenly things. And we should not mind earthly things. We should set our affections, we should be minded towards things that are above. And just another link with this is in 2 Corinthians 2, where it says that we are not ignorant of his devices. That word devices is everywhere else translated mind and thoughts. It's the same word as 2 Corinthians 10, taking every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. And the devices in 2 Corinthians 2 were that Paul is saying to the Corinthians, the man you disciplined, the brother you disciplined, should now be forgiven. And if we don't forgive him, Satan could get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We usually just kind of say that phrase, we're not ignorant of his thoughts, his methods. And it's true, we should not be. But in that context, it's really kind of startling. Satan was going to use an emphasis on truth and an emphasis on righteousness to ignore the truth of forgiveness and restoration, and he would have gotten an advantage of those Corinthian believers by making them forget the whole teaching of God's word and making them emphasize one part. And he said, Satan will get an advantage of us if we let that happen. So among the Christian company, we are exposed to his thoughts. And the method to deal with all of these is taking every thought back in our chapter to the obedience of Christ. And I would suggest that that is really exactly what it means. Every thought, not just now these high things, but analyze, assess every thought, subject every thought to scrutiny to see whether that thought is going to be obedient to Christ. And some thoughts are. Thank the Lord, every thought from the Scriptures, we are always going to be guided correctly. But if the thought that we have is leaving out some aspect of the truth of God's Word, it is not a thought that is subject to the obedience of Christ, and therefore it is a device, it is a thought of the devil. Not that Satan influences our thoughts, but that it has as its origin devilish wisdom, earthly wisdom, like it says in James chapter 3.
So I wonder if we could go back just for a few moments now and talk a little bit about the cross. Yes, John 3:16 is crucial. Romans 10 is crucial. But you can give these thoughts to people and they go right over their head. I often talk to Roman Catholics. I see the cross, the chain with the cross. see the cross in the house, and you ask them, what do you believe that to be? And they would say, well, it's Christ died on the cross. That's as far as it goes, it's Christ dying on the cross. You ask any Roman Catholic that, and for the most part, I hate to mention a religion, but I was a Roman Catholic for many, many years. And they don't appreciate the cross. They don't appreciate that Christ, when he was on that cross, he was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did he say to the thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can get that across to people, rather than just quoting scriptures that way, I think salvation would begin to touch a nice note for those individuals that you talk to. The cross is the crucial point of no return, and it's the place that we should concentrate on as we're thinking. You talk to the young people. You remember, we all remember when we had two verses to rub together, correct? You knew John 3:16 and a few other verses. But if you could just study and appreciate in your heart what the cross meant to you and what it means to you today, and you can have someone else appreciate that cross, it could strike a good note.
And as you point that out from an evangelistic point of view, I'm taking it on the other side of the fence now, where the cross in itself really speaks of man entirely being finished before God. Man is done with. Now, if you tell someone that, you know, you're done for, you'll have a reaction. But really, that's what the cross means. You are done for. The Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't stop there. He says, through which the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto it. Which means that there is a total cessation of importance when it comes to the cross. If I think I'm important, guess what happened? The cross has cut me down. And if we tell the world that, they're not going to be very happy. Do you know tomorrow morning, God willing, when we sit for the supper and we put the loaf on the table and the cup, we're telling the world that they're done for. And if the world knew that we're telling them that, they'll probably run us out of town. Seriously. Because we're telling them that you're finished in that emblem on the table. And that's what the cross represents. The end of everything associated with man.
And that's why reading, leading every thought captive to Christ, the obedience, to the obedience of the Christ. Now, who is the winner? The one that is in chain captive, or the one that is leading the captive? So Christians are not losers. They are actually one that are leading thoughts captive, bringing somebody into subjection. So when my mind run with the thought that I heard from somebody, or it came from myself, or I need to bring that thought. So I am not now captive to my thought or somebody else's thoughts. I am taking all of these thoughts and bring them captive even to the point of the obedience of Christ. What is really the obedience of Christ? What is that?